Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This week, it's my pleasure to bring to you a presentation from the LDN Book Volume 2 Tour, October 2020.
So I'm a pharmacist for 45 years. I've been in practice for that long, but we've had Madison Drugs for 35 years. And 20 of that, and my video is not up, and 20 of that has been as compounding and natural products or wellness approach only. We have tried to work with patients in a more functional perspective and have been very comfortable with that. We feel like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing with our lives now. If you are familiar with LDN, my presentation will just be a review. If you're new to LDN, what I'm trying to do is lay groundwork for the speakers to come later in this afternoon to give you some basics. And Linda has touched on quite a bit of what I'll point back to and refer back to as we go forward. So I will try to share my screen and see if I can get some slides up, and we'll talk our way through those. Hopefully you have slides in front of you now. So my title is You Can Win with LDN, as Linda has shown so forcefully for herself. Just a little bit of history then. Naltrexone was originally patented back in 1967. The FDA in the US approved it as an opioid antagonist in 1984 to treat heroin addiction originally. Several years later was also approved for treating alcohol addiction. The commercial doses, the only thing that's commercially available still, are 50 milligrams and sometimes dosed up as high as 150 to 200 milligrams. And the high doses are used to suppress endorphin release. And so it stops the high with those who are addicted, if you will, but they don't necessarily change their cravings, but it does stop the high. That's the value in that purpose. That was approved in 1984 by the FDA. In 1985, Dr. Bahari, researcher at Harvard, discovered that lower doses were modulating immune response. He was working with AIDS patients, didn't have much to work with AIDS patients at the time. He realized that opioid receptors and endorphins were working on immune issues. He realized that AIDS patients had a much lower endorphin levels than the normal population, only about 20% of normal. Got approval for a trial and found that something in the range of a 1% of commercial dose was stimulating significant increases in endorphins, and his AIDS patients lived longer. So he worked for the rest of his career on what's going on with low doses physiologically that's different than high doses. His work has been continued by others, of course. One of the first papers that we find that's published in patients was from Penn State in 2007, a paper looking at Crohn's disease. In 2009, Stanford Medical School published some research about fibromyalgia patients. I was curious as to how far this has gone with published papers, and so last week I went to PubMed. So PubMed, of course, is a repository of medical articles, journal articles and such, publications that are archived by the National Library of Medicine under the National Institutes of Health. And as of last week, PubMed listed 887 articles related to LDN. So we've certainly come a long way. There's a long way still to go. Linda was pointing to some really interesting things that are happening now, and we're excited to see what else is coming down the road. As far as mechanism of action, you'll find a lot of details on the LDN Research Trust website. But naltrexone biochemically is a racemic mixture. It's a 50-50 mix of levorotatory isomer and dextrorotatory isomers. They have different activity, the left-handed versus the right-handed version, if you will. The levorotatory isomer stimulates an increase in endorphin release and thereby modulates immune response. but the dextrorotatory isomer inhibits toll-like receptors. That suppresses cytokine response. Think about with this the coronavirus issue we've been seeing is this cytokine storm was one of the issues that was a problem for patients, the inflammatory cascade that was being released by the cytokine response. So this reduces inflammation. There's some evidence of downregulating oncogenes as well. Now, you would think that if these have these activities, what's the difference with the higher doses, the commercial products? But it appears that the commercial dose ranges are overwhelming receptors, and so we suppress response rather than getting beneficial response. Looking at the lower doses of what we consider LDN, then an overview of that, we're increasing endorphin release, we reduce inflammation, we see the effect on toll-like receptors and suppressing this autoimmune, this self-attack, because if we're resetting immune system, our body should not be our enemy. And it's one of the things that we can see almost universally with this is that reduction in autoimmune process in patients. Of course, as Linda pointed, the evidence of inhibiting tumor growth. Dr. Monica will talk quite a bit about gut issues and how that ties in with this process and autoimmunity. But one of the things we see with these low doses that we call LDN is stimulating mucosal healing. There have been multiple trials run that have shown efficacy as an immune modulator in different formats. We know that lower doses are activating glial cells, helps it regulate nerve pain, and that the lower doses are stimulating the growth or proliferation of oligodendrocytes, which are increasing the production of myelin. So some of the issues like MS, for example, which are myelin-based diseases, one of the reasons that it appears to be value is that it's improving the production of myelin and protecting neurological tissues. We know that this endorphin opioid receptor system is involved in almost every system involved in immune response. Linda mentioned Dr. Ian Zagon, who has published over 29 years or so now. She said a lot of his is in the lab rather than with patients, but he's published over 300 papers. So he's been very prolific in that process, continuing a lot of the work that Dr. Bahari began. There are many diseases that we know are associated with impaired immune response. Now, if we look at a difference in functional approach and traditional medical approach, with disease process, our traditional model is more of a disease management model. And so we have these labels of different autoimmune diseases. In more of a functional approach, we realize that we may not have specific diseases. We have an autoimmune process. We have multiple tissues at risk. I think the reason that we see those 240 different conditions on Linda's site that have shown to be beneficial is that the body is not necessarily targeting just one thing. I don't know how many patients who've come into consults with us, wellness consults with us, and said something like, three different doctors told me I had lupus, but then they did labs and said I didn't. Well, they still had all the symptoms. They still had problems with their system, but were being dismissed because their labs were not matching the expectation. So I think we have to be aware that we're looking for cause, looking at process, not just at a label. We know that the regulation of the immune system with endorphins working on opioid receptors is a big deal, and that the increase is part of the process. The stimulation of endorphin release is part of the process. At the time I first started putting slides together, there were just over 200 different things showing on Linda's site. Now, as she said, about 240 different things that have been shown to be beneficial. I want to touch a little bit more on where she was going with some of this. It does require a prescription. We have to have a prescriber involved, a physician involved. And of course, it does have to be compounded. The commercial products are not at a dose that can be manipulated well to get the same benefit. As Linda mentioned, there is extensive counterfeit access to medications, not just to LDN. But internet access is always questionable. whether you're a prescriber or whether you're a patient, if you are looking at the use of LDN, I think it's important that you find a compounder that you can trust, someone that you can know, that you can touch, that you can understand, you can have conversations. As Linda alluded to, this needs to be individualized. It's not that one size fits all. 4.5 milligrams is not for everyone. The same base or filler for the capsule may not be for everyone. May need to be some adaptation for you as an individual. So you need someone who's willing to work with you on that and has experience in doing that. There's another aspect to this that just as a sideline, but compounding for anything can be based on the focus of more than one focus in the process. So one focus of a compounder might be, how can I find the way to make the cheapest possible product? And the other is, how can I find the way to make the most beneficial product for my patient? We've chosen for years to work only with one source because we want to assure that the patient responds. And one of our speakers later in this afternoon, Sebastian Dennison, will touch on some of the reasons that we've chosen to use the people that we have because of the quality that we can be assured of working with PCCA. But we've seen differences in patient response when they use products based on price and when they use products based on response. There are differences in the bases, there are differences in the quality of the chemicals in the first place. You always need to choose a compounder that you can trust. Multiple forms, as Linda said, the most common form is capsules. And typically now we'll see things starting at anywhere from 0.5 milligrams up to 1.5 milligrams with titration. But as she said, these dose protocols have changed. There's not a fixed protocol for a given individual. We need to find what works best. And so we've had many patients who started and had to back up, others who stepped right up to 4.5 and never felt any problems whatsoever. Some who were at 4.5 and stepped back down later because they no longer responded as well, as you mentioned. So it's going to be an individual's process. It needs to be something that's evaluated over time. Certainly there are sublingual approaches now, liquid drops or troches. Typically these will be used if someone is having problems with response at opioid receptors in the gut. And so absorbing this in the mucosal tissues of the mouth, we don't have effect directly on those receptors in the gut, so we can avoid some of the side effects. There are oral liquids, topical use creams, some exploring using transdermal use in creams. As she mentioned, gummies and other types of things are available. So whatever is useful for a specific patient is in the toolbox for a compounder. Generally, most commonly, there will be capsule forms compounded with innocuous or inert bases, so there's no trigger for the patient. Everything needs to be hypoallergenic. There's so many other factors that patients who have autoimmune processes or significant inflammation might also be susceptible to. It will just need to be something fairly clean. We do see side effects. There are some groups who say that they see as much as a third of patients who might have some issues with vivid dreams. It's been much lower in our experience. We've had a few patients, we've only seen a few with gastrointestinal side effects or nausea. And those patients, when they moved to a sublingual, had no problems at all. At least one of those in the last few months who had transitioned back to capsules after 3 months on sublingual and had no further problems once they had begun to calm the inflammatory processes down with the effect of LDN. Headache and agitation are issues that have been reported. There is some concern about hyperthyroid response in Hashimoto's patients. So very many practitioners with Hashimoto's patients, rather than starting a titration at 1.5 milligrams, might start down as low as 0.5 and move much more slowly just to assure that they don't see any change in that autoimmune response. Now, I have seen patients flip from hypo to hyper, hyper to hypo, through the last 20 years or so. I've seen only two, one who was not on LDN and made that transition, and one who was on LDN who made that transition. So most practitioners working with Hashimoto's patients, when they first began, would redo labs every 30 days or so, just to be sure that they're not seeing anything of concern in the patient's response. But this is one of the areas that we've worked the most with, is patients with Hashimoto's. And in our experience, probably a third of those, even from the beginning, are reporting that they actually feel better with their thyroid response overall. Far less common would be flu-like symptoms or Herxheimer responses. This would be far more likely to occur in someone who has some kind of systemic infection, a Lyme patient or those with Lyme and co-infections, where they are seeing changes in their response because of the die-off of the Lyme agent or other infectious agent that's being affected. Reported but uncommon changes in energy or spasticity. And there's some evidence that in MS patients, there may be worsening of symptoms for the first few months, although Linda reports that she did not experience that. The only real contraindication is not using with opioid medications for pain because we may be inducing withdrawal. Much worse likelihood if patients are on very high doses or if they're using sustained release medications. If they're using instant release medications and there's an open window between doses, they may be able to use LDN in the mix. And as we'll touch on again in a minute, there are other approaches to that. Rather than LDN, moving down to ultra low dose, the microgram doses, is much safer to use along with the opioids as a way to try to begin to modify their response. So see these different labels, VLDN for very low dose naltrexone, starting around 100 micrograms in most cases. This would be used with patients who are on opioid meds for pains, but are experiencing significant side effects like constipation on a chronic basis. And so at this level, with most cases not interfering with the effect of the pain control, but minimizing side effects. And then what's being labeled as ultra low dose, the microgram dose, is typically starting down to 1 microgram. So if you think of a patient who's on 3 milligrams compared to a patient who's on 1 microgram, that 3 milligram patient is 3,000 times more, even though that dose is still very low. So this is getting down to a very tiny dose for the microgram doses. But at this level, it does not interfere with pain control. It actually typically improves the response to the opioid medication. So the patients are able, as the ones that Linda mentioned as her examples, are able to begin to reduce their doses and begin to come away. Linda touched on all of this, so I'll not spend very much time at all, but when we want to understand more about this, the best resource is the Research Trust website. She mentioned patient guides. I would encourage any patient to print those out and understand those. Physician guides, things that you can take to your prescriber if you're trying to get someone on board to get them to understand what's happening. Dosing guides, there are dosing guides on the site that can be printed. There are dose protocols in Linda's books, particularly in this LDN book too. She showed some of the published papers and articles that were there. The conferences, the Research Trust has sponsored international conferences since 2013. We found those to be very useful. We've actually used replays of some of those presentations for physicians in our marketplace as ways to help them understand some of the possibilities of what is out there. I'm glad to hear that the 2019 conference as of January will be free access. Up until now, that has been a purchase access. But the older ones have been free already. So each of those is a series of presentations from physicians or prescribers around the world. Typically, they'll be talking about one particular area of health concern, but they are practitioners who have experience and expertise in those areas. Most of those are in the range of 20 to 25 minutes. So it's something you can take in one sitting. Many of those will fill up a notebook just from that very brief time if you're trying to learn from what's going on. She showed some of the specialty conferences, the conferences on pain, the newsletters, the podcasts, the interviews. This site is a wealth of information. It's amazing to me how much that they've been able to accomplish with what she sponsored, just as she said, about 14 years ago. So this has been a quite a journey for her, but quite a journey for those in the world who are looking for access. And suddenly, here's all this information. I'm looking forward to all the things that she has coming forward as we move down the road. Now, the purpose of this event today was part of the launch of her second book. So if you haven't viewed these books, both are very useful. The book, both of these are broken into chapters about different health conditions or disease states. Each chapter is written by a physician who has expertise and experience in that field. We've used book one for years, particularly with thyroid patients. If they were Hashimoto's patients or even suspected Hashimoto's, the chapter on thyroid in there is very concise, about 20 pages. It gives great depth about understanding thyroid response and the processes that underlie the reasons that patients may not feel well, even though their labs may look okay. So it's been a very useful tool. Book two has chapters on different conditions than were covered in book one. So it's going to expand that access quite significantly. This process overall, though, has been so interesting to us. We've worked with LDN for years. We've had so many years, we've had only very few prescribers in our area who were working with that, but patients have been seeking this for a long time. Many who were not aware of what they were seeking, but now they're becoming more and more aware of that. So the book is one of the tools for that purpose. If you're looking for the books and you haven't found them yet, we've got special prices on them right now during this launch as well. So as this format today is over, if anyone is looking for ways to get back in contact with the speakers, you can reach us through Madison Drugs. We'd be glad to get you in contact with someone if you need to, or try to answer questions for you.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.